that's good. Thank you, kids. That's good. All right. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I appreciate your all's hospitality and appreciate y'all being here this morning. And it's an honor and a privilege to stand before you. And I pray that you'd be blessed this morning, and pray that God would just speak to our hearts. And take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 1 through 18. John chapter 3. They're very familiar passages of Scripture. Really great chapter in the New Testament. But there's a lot to look at here, and just want to bring a message from this passage of Scripture this morning. John chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we see, testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the life that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of everlasting life through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you've offered that to all, and that it's freely there for all to receive if they only believe and call upon your glorious name, and repent of their sins, and trust you, Lord, for forgiveness and salvation. God, I pray that you would just bless in our midst. Lord, we thank you for the truth and power of your word, and that it's eternal. And Lord God, we thank you that it's settled in heaven. God, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. I pray that you would just help us to have understanding of your word, Lord. And I pray that we would exalt you, Lord. I pray that you would give me power to speak, to preach your word, Lord. I pray that you would just help me, and pray that you would help this congregation, Lord. I pray that you bless them. Lord, I pray if there's one or more in our midst that's not saved, that hasn't been born again, that hasn't trusted you for forgiveness and salvation, may today be the day. God, I pray for those that are saved, Lord, here this morning. God, that you would stir them to a greater sanctification, greater service for you. God, bless them in a special way. God, I pray that you'd meet with us. Lord, I pray that you would rebuke all of the darkness and the distractions that perhaps will come. I pray that you would just have free reign in our hearts and minds this morning. God, I pray that your will be done here, Lord, and just pray that you'd bless your word, and I pray that you would add your blessings to it, and I pray that it would be fruitful and multiply. Lord, we trust and know that your word, that your holy word, does not return void. God, we thank you for that, and we ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 3, these passages of Scripture, I want to speak to you this morning on man's greatest need. Man's greatest need. You know, we have many needs in our lives, don't we? And especially the hard times of today. What is need? A need is something of necessity. It is lack of something that's required. It is a condition of deficiency. What are the needs of man? There are many. Man needs relationships to be cared for. Man needs food to live on. Man needs clothing and raiment. Man needs shelter or a house to live in. Man needs to be educated. Man needs to work for a living. Man needs transportation, and the list goes on and on. The list goes on and on. But we must consider this morning, what is man's greatest need? What is man's greatest need? These things that I've mentioned here are all physical needs. They're all temporal needs. They're all needs that will be met, but will need to be met again. What is man's greatest need? The greatest need of man is spiritual. The greatest need of man is eternal. The greatest need of man is spoken here by the Lord Jesus. He shared that with Nicodemus, and what a night that was, of meeting Nicodemus there at night, and Jesus speaking to him and teaching him the Word of God. And this is man's greatest need here we see in this passage. And what is it? You and I are naturally spiritually deficient. We come in this world spiritually deficient. The Bible tells us so. And we'll look at that here soon. Here, the Lord Jesus in our text addresses man's greatest need to Nicodemus. First, let's consider you need to be born again. This is man's greatest need. Jesus spoke here in verses 3, verse 5, and verse 7. He repeated it over and over to Nicodemus. He wanted him to get it. He wanted him to receive the truth. And the man's greatest need here, verse 3, let's read it. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, without being born again, a person that is not born again, he cannot see heaven. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said in verse 5 to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So not only a person can't see heaven without being born again, he cannot enter into heaven without being born again. Now Jesus goes on again. Verse 7. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, it's one thing in Scripture when God tells us something, when He commands us to do something, or He gives us a truth to obey or to trust in. It's one thing for God to say it once. When God says something, all of Scripture is profitable. It's for our instruction. It's needful for us, for man. When He says something once, it's important. We ought to listen up and obey. But when the Lord Himself speaks it three times, there's more seriousness to what He's saying here. And He wanted Nicodemus to get what He was saying. He wanted it to penetrate his heart and for him to believe. And so that is man's greatest need, is a person must be born again. Now let's consider the spiritual condition of man. Nicodemus here, let's think about Nicodemus. Nicodemus, Jesus spoke to him and said, "Hey, you're lacking something. You're spiritually deficient, Nicodemus." Now Nicodemus, what did he say? He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious leader. He was a Pharisee, and he was a ruler of the Jews. So he was a leader in the Sanhedrin. And so he was knowledgeable of the law and the Old Testament scriptures. But Jesus said, despite your piety, despite your religious status, despite your church going, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You're lacking something in your life. All that doesn't amount to what I require, Nicodemus. In order for you to go to heaven, Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's not going to be acceptable to me, the Lord God Almighty, for you to be religious only. There are many people that are religious today. There are many people that come to church or have their church membership in whatever various church that they go to, but that does not save a person. Their affiliation or their deeds does not save a person. Many people boast about baptism. Baptism doesn't save a person. The Scriptures clearly teach that. Jesus said you must be born again. Now, man is spiritually deficient. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." That's a grave situation. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know, some people may say today, "Well, Sean, I don't believe in God, especially the God of the Bible." Well, can I tell you that He's your God whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, He is your God. He created you. He gave you life. I like what chapter 5, verse 2, I believe it is, when that old wicked king was there, and I think it was Daniel that spoke to him. He said, "In the God in whose thy breath His hand is in, that you haven't glorified." You know, God gives people the breath of life, and they don't recognize God. They don't thank God for that. I thank God every day that I wake up and have another day to live, to be with this lovely family back there, and to freely serve God and to know Him through His Word and talking to Him in prayer. What a privilege that is. But we are spiritually deprived. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We are spiritually dead. The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God, because he's spiritually discerned. We are dead spiritually. And so if we are dead spiritually, then we need to be brought back to life spiritually, don't we? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, a passage of Scripture that we're all familiar with, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us are sinners. All are unrighteous and undone before God. We don't measure up. We don't come close to His measuring stick. We have fallen short of His glory, His expectation for us. So we are spiritually deficient. So we have a need. What does it mean to be born again? It is a spiritual birth. We are spiritually dead, therefore we need to be spiritually made alive. Notice the exchange in our text about the physical versus the spiritual. Verses 4 through 6, Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus are having an exchange here of this topic of being born again. And Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? He was talking about the physical, wasn't he? I mean, the things that he said, the statement he said there to me is kind of gross. Being born again, going back into your mother's womb, that's a little gross to think about, isn't it? But he naturally thought that way. Those terms of being born again spiritually was new to him. He never heard of that before. And so, how can this be, Lord? I was already born many, many years ago. Perhaps him being a ruler of the Jews, he was an elderly man. He says, this is impossible, Lord. But he was talking, he was meditating upon the physical. But Jesus was trying to get him to see it was a spiritual birth that he's trying to tell him about. And so he mentions the physical birth, and all of us have a physical birth, but we all need a spiritual birth to be in heaven. And Jesus replies back to him about the physical. He answers him with the physical and the spiritual. Notice it says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, verse 5. So being born of the water, that's talking about our physical birth. Okay, and then of the Spirit. It's and the Spirit. So a person has to be born of the Spirit of God to enter into heaven, enter the kingdom of God. Now Jesus goes on and tries to pull Nicodemus from the physical over to the spiritual. And he says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There are two different births, Nicodemus. Now, there's a false doctrine, there's a false teaching that the devil tries to get people to think and to bite into. All of us, some people say, well, we're all God's children. That is not the truth. We are all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it's by faith in Jesus Christ that we become children of God. Okay, so it's faith. It's a spiritual birth. And so it is a spiritual birth. And in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, but as many as received Him, talking about Christ, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's the spiritual birth. It's receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and God making you His child by the Spirit of God. Now, so it is a spiritual birth. That's what it means to be born again. Now, you may be here this morning and say, hey, Sean, I've already checked that off the list. I trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm born again. I know that heaven is my home according to the Word of God that God promises. That is wonderful. That's the most important thing. That's man's greatest need. But there is a message for you about this. there's a message to be learned from this. So, but first, let's consider why. Why should a person be born again? You know, there's a lot of people today that just don't care. There's a lot of people that just don't give church, the preacher, the Word of God, the Bible, the time of day. Why? Why should I care? Why should I go to church? There's a lot of people that run real hard and are faithful after they get saved and serve God, and then they just fall out, tire out, and just quit. And it's a shame. That's sad. That ought not to be the case. God has done so much for you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought not to give up. We ought not to let back and let up. But why should a person be born again? Well, our text says, because you face danger. You face danger. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's condemnation to those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. They're condemned. The last verse of chapter 3 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Boy, those are strong words from Scripture. He that believeth on the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You know, a person may say, hey, I've got the best life there is. Why should I give it up for God? Why should I believe in this Jesus? My friend, you're missing out. It says that person shall not see life. The day that I got saved, that I said, Lord, I am lost. I need you. I need to be saved. I need full forgiveness of my sins. That day that I called upon Him and He saved my soul, He came into my heart and my life, whoa, that was sweet. That day has gotten sweeter every day. I didn't begin to start living until that day. Boy, life changed. And now what a great change that it was. He made me a new creature. I remember in my sin thinking, man, this is the life. Living it up and doing all the worldly things, the fleshly things, the sinful things of this life, and saying, man, this is it. This is the life. No, that's not the life. The life is in Jesus Christ. True life, an abundant life, is in Jesus Christ. Jesus said He came that people might have life and have it more abundantly. People must see that Jesus is the answer. The wrath of God abideth on them that don't believe in Christ. What a sad danger that is. It's a danger. And so, why be born again? Also because you face death. Romans 6:23, a very familiar passage of Scripture. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages or the payment, the result of our sin is death. Not just physical death, yes. The sins of man brought death upon mankind and all creation. But it's that spiritual, eternal separation from God Almighty and everything that's good and pleasant and lovely about Him, and a suffering and torment in the place of hell. That's danger. That's death. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the vision, the revelation that God gave John on the Isle of Patmos. He gave this to John, and he's seeing it before his eyes, and he's talking past tense, but today that's yet future for us. That's in the future. Revelation 20, 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How sad. What a sad day that will be. You know, I thank God. I thank God that He saved my soul. You know, I feared that place. When I realized the severity of my sins, I realized that my home would be in hell, in this lake of fire. And I didn't want that. And so I repented of my sin. I turned to God and said, Lord, I want You. I want to be at peace with You. I want a home in heaven. And that's a choice that everyone has to make. Now, God is loving. Yes, He is. A lot of people say, how can hell exist? How can God send people to hell if He is a God of love? Folks, hell is real. Jesus spoke of it. It's in Scripture. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Thing is, God doesn't want anyone to go there. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. God says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want you to go there. But a person cannot believe in hell and believe in heaven at the same time. You can't have heaven. You can't have one and not the other. Hell is real. Heaven is real. The Word of God says so. Please don't go there. So there's danger. We cannot go to heaven without being born again. How can this spiritual birth take place? It's accomplished solely by the Holy Spirit. Jesus here in our text in John chapter 3 verses 5 and 8 mentions the Holy Spirit of God. Born of the Spirit. And talking about in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He's illustrating in verse 8 that just like the wind blows to and fro, we cannot see the wind. Yes, it's invisible, but we see its effects. We know it's real. That's the same thing with the Spirit of God. We cannot see the Spirit of God, but we know that He's real because He works in the lives of people. He saves people. He comes into believers and makes them a new creature. That's what the Spirit of God does. He makes that happen. And Titus chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not by works of your righteousness that gets you to heaven. We talked about that in Sunday school. It's according to God's mercy. Thank God for His mercy. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. The Bible says that His mercy endures forever. Thank God for that. You know, God is merciful. So the Holy Spirit of God, here in Titus 3, verse 5, makes that new birth, that being born again possible. But it is trusting in Jesus. We've already talked about that in John chapter 1, verse 12. Verses 15 and 16, here in our text, it says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him alone. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. That's the gospel. That's the good news to mankind. We must trust in what Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. The sin of mankind was placed upon Him, and God's wrath was poured upon Him and judged that day upon Calvary. He paid the ultimate price for us. And He suffered so. That was no ordinary crucifixion that those Romans performed. Yeah, there were many crucifixions that, you know, that they did in those days. But Jesus, being the Son of God, the Son of Man, coming to die for us, that was no ordinary crucifixion. one of the most delicate times in all creation was when he was on the cross. When God had to turn back upon him, turn his back upon his son, because he possessed the sins of the world. And that's when Jesus cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But when he died upon the cross, he said, it is finished. The salvation's plan, all of the work was done upon Calvary. And when he rose from the grave the third day, according to the scriptures, that was our hope and our promise that we too can conquer the grave. We too can have everlasting life past the grave. The Bible says if Christ be not risen, we are all men most miserable. We would have no hope today if it wasn't for the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he did not raise again, this book is vain. The Bible says we would still be in our sins. We might as well close up shop and go home and be miserable. But Jesus Christ, he is the resurrection and the life. He rose from the grave. So it's trusting in Jesus to be born again. You must ask for it. We mentioned this in Sunday school in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must come to Christ and ask for this new birth. Ask for this salvation. So, you that are born again, secondly, you that are born again need to help or show to others how to meet their greatest need. Those this morning that said, yes, Brother Sean, I have trusted Christ as my Savior. I remember the day that the Lord saved me. I'm born again. According to 1 John 5:13, I have a home in heaven. And what am I to do? You're to show others their greatest need. You're to tell them and to help them how to be born again. The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, the Bible says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, talking about the devil. And I, if I be lifted up, this is Jesus speaking, And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. There's two things here. Primarily, number one, he's talking about his crucifixion. When he was raised up from the earth upon the cross of Calvary. That through that, he will draw all men unto himself. Salvation is available to all. He wants all to be saved. But not all believe. Not all call upon him. But he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now, there's application for us today on this. If you and I individually, personally, in our lives, in our homes, in our workplace, among our family and our friends, if we lift up the name of Jesus, God will be well pleased. The Lord Jesus Christ will draw people to him. It's lifting up the name of Jesus with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God does the work. The Bible says that He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. And the Holy Spirit works when we lift up the name of Jesus, use His Word, and God does the rest. God does the work. He brings people to repentance and faith in Him. So you and I that are saved need to tell others the story of how the virgin-born, crucified, risen-again Savior can be birthed in their heart. As a Christian, we can do all kinds of good things, can't we? We can do all kinds of good things in the community. We can do many things like feed the hungry, give to the poor, clothe the needy. We can build homes for those that don't have them or have lost them. Those are all good things. Don't get me wrong. Those are all good things. However, as a church, if we neglect to share with them their greatest spiritual need, then we do to them a great injustice. We do to them a major injustice. You know, this is the Word of God is convicting to me. You know, when we study the Word and we preach the Word of God, it's got to be for us. The Bible talks about how we can speak vanity to our neighbor. That we can just talk about the weather, we can talk about sports, we can talk about the things of the day or the economy, whatever. But we leave God out, and that's we're missing the mark. We've got to talk about the Lord Jesus. We've got to tell and share with people that man has a great need and that time is running out. We need to be busy about God's business. We must share the greatest need with others. So to the believer, you and I need to be more near to God than ever before. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to thee. If we do our part, being faithful in studying the Word of God as believers, praying, talking to Him, worshiping, coming into the house of God, if we'll do our part, God will do His part. He'll draw near to you. And we need that in our lives. There are many needy people out there today. We need to be sharing with others how they can be born again. Now to you that haven't trusted in Christ, maybe you're here this morning, you've not believed on Christ, you haven't been born again, you don't know for sure that heaven is your home, well, you can be. You can be. You that are lost in your sin and you need to be saved and be born again. The Lord Jesus here tells you of the single requirement of going to heaven. The Bible tells you that you must repent of sin, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God died to pay for that punishment of our sins and our sin nature. He alone can save. Now He can give you eternal life. You need to decide today and call upon Him for this gift of salvation. I pray this morning that God would have His way in your heart.